Yo, what's up? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you're checking out the Dana Cortez Show. You know how we do. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. Who is this?
Yo, it's Ice Cube calling in. What's up?
Dang.
Yeah, yeah.
Ice Cube, just straight to it. I love the fact that you don't have like a handler connecting you.
We've gone through this before.
I don't care. I'm going to bring it up again.
Man, I can't. Yeah, can't nobody handle me.
All right, you're getting ready for this amazing tour. Obviously, you know, this is different, though, because we're talking four decades. You're putting it out there like that.
Kicking it off in Denver at Ball Arena.
Yeah, this is going to be absolutely incredible. What are you looking forward to most about going on the road this time?
Well, like you said, this is different. People have seen me many, many times, but this is my biggest production. And you know, I get a chance to really take my time on stage and go through my catalog, you know, the right way, and not just get to the hits and see you later. You know, it's more of like, yo, you know, let's get to Once More Time, the projects. Let's get to my summer vacation. Let's get to, you know, some of these songs that you never get a chance to see me perform. 40 years in the game, and we got to celebrate.
I can't wait to hear the NWA stuff. That's what I'm most excited about.
Are you, Otto? Is that like...
That's what... That I mean, I've seen Q before perform a couple times before, but I've only seen you perform one NWA song, so I'm really looking forward to that part.
See what I'm saying? Like, you know, now I get a chance to do, you know, a chunk of those songs and bring people through my whole career.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy journey, and... You know, it's great to be able to do like part concert, part one man, you know, show of, you know, like, yo, this is, you know, four decades of getting down and speaking truth to power. And so it's going to be fun.
When you're on stage and you're performing some of these classics, does it take you back to that time when you were in the group or when things just kind of started? And what do you, you know, think about that time and right now. Did you imagine yourself where you are today?
Never imagined it. You know, I just wanted to be, you know, the best rapper I could be, you know, at the time, do the best music, come up with the best concepts. And it do take me back. You know, when you're on stage, you hear the music, you see the crowd. You know, the stage is the stage. So the vibe is addicting. You know, you want to do it all the time. So, you know, that feeling comes back. You know, it's a trip because it's like you're in a time capsule almost. And then, you know, getting a chance to see the people's reactions to the songs and how much the songs mean to them is part of it, too, for me. Yeah, it's the best part of entertainment is performing.
You put so much effort into your shows. You know, watching you is highly entertaining, from beginning to end. Was it always that way? Do you remember, we're kind of going back, when you first got on stage, was it shocking? Like, you know, you see all these people.
I want to hear about your first time on stage.
Yeah, what was that like? What was your first time on stage like?
Man, you know, crazy nervous, of course.
Right?
Like, here you know, I started when we didn't have no records. So you had to have, you know, a show. You had to be entertaining. You had to know how to move the crowd. You had to know how to get their attention. And so these are, like, some of the things that I came up with before we had records. Mm-hmm. And so having a hit record is just kind of like the cherry on top.
Right.
You know, I still, you know, when I'm talking to Dove, I'm like, we still got to rock the crowd, man. You still got to rock the beat. You know, so many rappers are not even rapping at their shows nowadays.
It's
kind of crazy. You know,
how many shows I've been to?
My mic is on.
Yeah, see somebody, they're just hopping around the stage and like something. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's so disappointing to drop $100 on somebody or even 50 or whatever. And you're not getting any kind of live performance. It's disappointing at best.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't understand what's going through the mind of a performer when you got a hit record, but you're making the crowd sing it more than you sing it. I mean, rap it or whatever. You know, they paid to see you, and they paid to see us live, and to see if you can even do it live. That's part of it too. Can you sound like your records?
Right.
And so, that's part of the art of being a performer and doing this. It's not just, you know, making good records in the studio, but it's being able to perform those records, is being able to give people the visual that goes with the records to help them understand your vision.
Now, I love that we can stream your music now, we can hear it, but do you feel like, because I do, I'm just going to say it, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like streaming obviously has helped artists in many ways, but at the same time, you talked about honing your craft, you talked about learning how to do a show, entertaining people. I feel like because of these one, like, quick streaming numbers, you got one hit, you go on the road, and then I go to a show, and I'm like, oh, my God, that was bad, and I don't ever want to go back. Do you feel that in some sense the internet has also hurt the game, not only helped it?
Definitely. It's a double-edged sword. People think music is disposable, you know, like, you know, and it's not. You know, music is, you know, one, is very expensive to make most of the time, and it's time-consuming. And, you know, there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the music to try to, you know, entertain people and give people a little, you know, different slice of life through music. And so when people just think it's, you know, disposable, it really hurts the artists, it hurts the industry, and it hurts future music. You know, it's not about what's happening now, because there's plenty of music to go around. But what happens when artists feel like, well, music is nothing I want to get into? So you might miss some of the best, you know, we might miss some of the best artists that we've seen in our lifetime because they didn't even do music because it wasn't looked at as valuable. So there's a, you know, it's definitely a double-edged sword at being able to have everything at your fingertips.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm listening and I'm like, ooh, that's not a good song. I'm like, I don't know who told you that was a good song.
Cube, I want to ask you a question because, of course, I'm familiar with your music. My name is Anthony A. But I was honestly raised on the movie Friday, and I, you know, constantly just doing more, learning more about you. And I've always marveled at your writing ability. If there was one, you know, secret you could share with the people out there when it comes to writing something like a feature film or an album, you know, maybe there's some young kid in the body or in the hood who doesn't understand how much writing can change his life or her life, what would your message be to them, and what tips would you give them for writing?
For writing, just go for it. You know, there's no formula that somebody can give you and say, this is going to make you a great writer. You got to do it. First thing, you got to have something to say. You got to have a great story to tell. You know, that's where it all starts, because you got to keep people's interest.
That's right.
So when you're writing, just know you got to keep people's interest and stay on the story. Don't start going off into different, you know, side bars that don't even matter. But just stay on point, you know, and just like you could tell a good story to your friend. That's how a movie is, man. You tell a good story. You know, what I would say about writing, painting, rapping, whatever, be creative. You know, if you're creative, you're free.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whenever you're creative, you can get away. It's a way to express yourself. It's also a way to focus, put your worries behind you, you know what I'm saying, and really concentrate on what you're trying to make. You know, we're creators by nature. So that's what I say. Just be creative. You know, whenever you feel in a certain kind of way, it'll make you feel a lot better.
I feel like writing for me is therapeutic almost. Like, I write for fun. Like, I write when I'm thinking about, when I'm in pain, when I'm happy, when whatever the case is, I write it down.
That's great. You know what I mean? If you talk to a lot of rappers, that's how they use music. It's therapeutic, you know, getting it out of you.
Yes.
You know, it's stuff that's pent up inside you. You just need to give it a physical form. And, you know, it's music. Sometimes it's writing.
When you write writing a hit, though, like Good Day, what was the process behind that?
I mean,
because that was all positive. It was an amazing.
It's the forever song, though. You did the impossible. You did the song that will play in an old folks' home later, like people are going to be listening to that song. You know, like that's the dream. How did you conceptualize it, and what were you thinking the moments you wrote all that down?
That everything around us at the time was hardcore, you know, it was, you know, even the music, just everything just seemed gritty, grimy. You know, people was talking about South Central Los Angeles, Compton, Watts. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, we had fun too. You know, it ain't about, it ain't like we, you know, just lived in this hellhole, so to speak. So I'm like, well, what's a good day in the hood? Like, cause we've had them, like, what is it? What does it consist of? You know? Mm-hmm. And when I start thinking about what that consisted of, it's really going through the day without no problems. You know, the problems that's usually out there for you, you get a chance to sidestep them today. That's really what a good day is about, is about you being able to sidestep all these pitfalls that's out here for you to turn your good day into a bad day. And when you avoid them all, you make it home safe, sound, full. You know, it's a good day.
I don't know. That to me, like I said, like that's the dream of every artist, to make a song that will live
to just make
long,
any kind of piece of art that's going to live forever.
That'll be the, like, you're basically...
Do you ever think about
immortality?
That?
It's immortality.
That you have actually achieved that a few times over now, that you're going to, that your name will be in the history books and people will know about you now forever.
And that's a great thing. And you know, it's all about doing more. You know, I'm still here, so I want to do I want to do more.
He's like, I got more to go. It's not over. It's not even close to being over. So, he's like, cool, but
you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much when I got so much to do. You know what I mean?
You got 18 major cities to go to.
Yeah, I know. And I
yeah,
think
for sure.
I want to talk. Obviously, you're one of the greats. The greatest, still doing it. Not to do it, still doing it. Can you give me a couple of artists today? Let's say the past 15 years. We'll go back 15 years. That you're like, yeah, they're good. Like that you listen to, you put in rotation, that you respect, or that you performed with, and you're like, man, they're good.
You mean new artists or artists that I've been rolling?
New artists.
Eclipse is crazy. Okay, yeah. I mean, you look at J. Cole is a monster. He ain't released nothing in a minute, but he a monster. Mm-hmm. You know,
I love J. Cole.
He a real problem. Of course, Kendrick is a great artist.
Right.
Drake is a great artist, you know, to be honest.
They're all, you know, all three of them are amazing.
And yeah, amazing artists that... You know, we'll continue to do music that will amaze us. So, you know, those three off the top of the dome.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because that the J. Cole song where he mentions all three, that started the whole beef, Q. That started the whole beef.
Yeah, ain't that something?
We don't want to relive that one.
No, we don't want to relive
it. I don't know why it started a beef, you know what I mean? It was like, to me, it's paying homage, you know what I mean? It's kind of like,
agreed.
Yo.
Agreed.
Me, Scarface, and Tupac was, you know, we was three of the greatest at the same time. No beef.
I've been putting out just amazing music.
I'm so glad you mentioned Scarface, though. We talk about Pac. We talk about you. Very few people understand the brilliance of Scarface.
One of the greatest rappers of all time.
Of all time. How did you, you know, connect with him? How were you turned on to his music? You're from different places. Like, how did that happen?
You know, coming up together, doing shows together, touring together, just becoming friends with all the ghetto boys. You know, me and Willie D, real cool.
Yeah.
I was real cool with Bushwick, rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P.
And, you know, me and Face, we just been in the game since we was, you know, knee-high to a horsefly. So it's been cool. You know, he's been a great dude, great friend. And, you know, we can be real with each other. We got new music together, so
nice.
That's dope.
That.
And we sound good together, so it's gonna be, you know, cool to drop some tracks.
Well, I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time. I think last question for me. I'm just gonna tell you, how did you get the deal with the movie Friday? This is kind of me asking. I had a couple of meetings. I don't even know if I put this out there. I got a TV show idea. It's about a Latino kid, and it's loosely based on my life. And I don't know how to like put it out there. I don't know. I mean, I've talked to a couple of people, but how did you make it happen? Like, how do you actually make it, you know, go into fruition? That's the question.
Well, it's a trip with the first Friday movie. We were going to make the movie ourselves.
Yeah.
We had saw what Robert Townsend did with a movie called Hollywood Shuffle. Mm-hmm. And he basically made that movie off credit cards. So me and DJ Pooh, we gonna write this movie, we're gonna go make it.
Yeah.
And in the process of making it, my manager at the time, Pat Charbonnet, got the script to New Line. Mm. And they read it and they was like, we want to make this movie. And we was like, nah, get out of here, because y'all don't know what y'all doing with this. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all gonna mess this up. And they was like, we won't touch it. Just give you the money. Wow. Just go make it. Bring us back a movie. And
best decision and that's they ever
how,
made.
You know, and that's how we made that movie. So, you know, they found out that it was a go anyway without them.
Yeah.
That's when they came along.
Okay,
so
then what you're telling me is I got to get my agent to get on this shit. That's what I got to do.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's really what you need to do is if you got a script and everything.
Yeah, I got
it. Have them put it in somebody's hands, you know.
Okay, all right. I just feel like, you know, and you know this because of where you're from, where I'm from, you know, Latinos, we have nobody in media. There's nothing. We consume 30% and we're less than I think it's 0.5% of those view, you know, in movies and on TV, even streaming and on the radio. I'm an anomaly. You got Latin LA now. That's a beautiful thing. Myself, you know, it's time, you know, and I think this story needs to be told. So that's why I had to ask your advice. So I'm just going to call my agent when we hang up. That's what I'm going to do.
Put his ass to work.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm putting his ass to work.
Yo, what's up? This your homeboy Ice Cube, and you're checking out the Dana Cortez Show. You know how we do. Yeah. All right, take it easy.